I still think they're probably perverts.
You have a one-track mind,
Landon muttered.
Hey, guys! Why didn't you wait for me?
Another girl appeared over the edge of the hill. This one was smaller than Ginger and Tilly, and her blonde curls bounced as she jogged toward us.
I'm telling.
And you must be Willa, I said, locking gazes with her as she approached. Even though Ginger had been wary, she was still open upon meeting us. I'd never seen a more closed-off child than Willa Winchester. Of course, because she grew up to be the world's most annoying adult, I shouldn't have been surprised.
Who are you?
Willa asked.
Are they strangers? We're not supposed to talk to strangers.
We're not strangers, I clarified. We're lost.
I think they're perverts,
Tilly said.
That guy has long hair. What guy with long hair isn't a pervert?
You need to stop with the pervert stuff, Landon chided. I swear, I'm not a pervert.
That's exactly what a pervert would say,
Tilly argued.
Perverts don't walk up to you and say, I'm a pervert. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I can honestly say she's exactly the same, Landon said. Talk to her and figure out how to get us out of here.
I balked. Why do I have to talk to her?
She's your great aunt.
Not now she's not, I argued.
What are you even talking about?
Tilly asked, narrowing her eyes.
Am I supposed to know you?
Well, how could I possibly explain a situation I didn't understand?
They're strangers and they're bad,
Willa announced.
We're not supposed to talk to them. I'm telling.
That seems to be your mantra,
Landon said.
Don't talk to me,
Willa screeched.
You're a stranger.
And she's exactly the same, too,
Landon muttered, sticking his finger in his ear to block Willa's shrillness.
I guess you Winchester women come out fully formed, huh?
I shrugged. I don't know what to tell them, I admitted. Anything we say will sound strange.
Oh, do you think?
No one needs your sarcasm, I said. That's not going to help.
Well, Bay, I'm fresh out of blind faith right now,
Landon said.
Sarcasm is all I have. You can't take pot roast and sarcasm from me in the same night and expect me not to be bitter. It's impossible.
I rolled my eyes, smirking when I saw Tilly doing the same thing.
He's a pill,
Tilly said, shaking her head.
You're awfully whiny for a pervert.
I've just about had it with the pervert stuff,
Landon said.
I'd rather hear Willa shriek some more instead of you calling me that. Hey, where did Willa go?
I glanced to the spot where the blonde tot of terror stood moments before and shook my head. I don't know.
Tilly!
Landon and I jolted at the voice, turning in unison and staring back at the house. No human could make that sound, could they? It sounded as if three women were screaming at once. That's how it sounded when Mom, Marnie, and Twyla decided to screech at the same time. This couldn't be good.
That's Mama,
Ginger whispered, her eyes clouding.
She's gonna be really angry we talk to strangers. I have to go now.
You baby, Tilly called as she watched Ginger scamper around the side of the house.
Mama isn't going to do anything to us. She's going to do something to the perverts.
Stop calling me that,
Landon said, wagging a finger in Tilly's face.
I am not a pervert. Tilly!
The voice was getting closer. Maybe we should run, I suggested, fear coursing through me. I'd heard stories about my great-grandmother Carolyn. None of them were good.
We can't run, Landon countered. We finally found an adult. She needs to help us figure out what's going on.
But...
No,
Landon said, cutting me off.
Someone in this crazy house has to know how to get us out of here. If your great-grandmother is a witch, she might know what's going on. She'll be able to help get us out of here.
Tilly snickered, the sound even more dastardly coming out of a small child instead of a cranky senior citizen.
Do you really think my mother is going to help perverts? If so, you have no idea who you're dealing with.
How many times do I have to tell you that we're not perverts?
Landon asked.
Just until I believe you.
Tilly shot back, wrinkling her upturned nose.
Seriously, what's up with your hair? Are you one of those guys who thinks he's a girl?
I can't even talk to you,
Landon mutters, shaking his head and planting his hands on his hips.
Tilly Winchester! Don't make me come out there and get you!
Fear coursed through me when I realized my great-grandmother was on the other side of the door and probably heading in our direction.
That's my cue to leave,
Tilly said, smirking.
Good luck. My mama isn't known for having a good sense of humor, and she hates perverts even more than I do. May the goddess have mercy on your souls.
Well, this definitely couldn't be good.
Who are you?
Carolyn Winchester was a stout woman, thick in the hips and tall, like, really tall. Most of the women in my family are short. I had no idea they ever bred Winchester women as tall as Carolyn. I broke off, licking my lips.
We're lost,
Landon interjected smoothly.
We were on a hike in the woods and lost our way. We didn't mean any disrespect, and no matter what Tilly says, I am not a pervert.
My mouth dropped open. Crap.
So you introduce yourself to strangers by saying you're not a pervert?
Carolyn challenged.
Only a pervert would say something like that.
What would a non-pervert say?
Landon shot back.
Would he admit to being a pervert? If so, how does that work?
Carolyn wiped her hands on her apron and narrowed her eyes.
Are you getting fresh with me, boy?
Carolyn was almost the same height as Landon, which gave him pause.
Definitely not.
We're not perverts, I interjected, forcing a friendly smile. In fact, we're long-lost relatives. Well, at least I am. He's a friend of mine, kind of. He's not a pervert.
I'm kind of a friend of yours?
Landon challenged.
I don't think calling you my love bunny is going to work in this particular situation, I hissed.
Bae, calling me your love bunny won't ever work,
Landon said.
Just for the record, I hate it when you do that.
Bae, huh?
I'd almost forgotten Carolyn was standing there. She was too imposing of a figure to disregard entirely, though. I'm your kin, I said, hoping that was the right word for the time. It's really hard to explain.
I know who you are, Carolyn said. I knew pretty much the moment I set eyes on you. What are you doing here?
She knows who I am? I have my doubts. If you know who I am, do you know why we're here?
I just asked you that question.
We don't know why we're here, I replied, choosing my words carefully. My aunt was hurt during a storm. We were at her bedside and fell asleep. We woke up here. Do you know how that's possible?
I do,
Caroline acknowledged, her gaze busy as it moved between us.
How was your aunt hurt?
A tree branch blew through a window during a storm and hit her in the head, I answered. I saw no reason to lie. It wouldn't benefit anyone. We had to take her to the hospital and they were running tests. It sounded lame.
Under normal circumstances, we would think she's responsible for putting us here,
Landon offered.
These are not normal circumstances, though. We have no idea how we ended up here.
Then you're not looking hard enough,
Caroline said, her eyes locking with mine. They were the same clear blue I boasted. I don't know what that means, I said. We need help getting out of here. We don't belong here.
You definitely don't belong here,
Caroline agreed.
I think there's a reason you're here, though. You have to figure out what it is. I can't help you.
Well, that sounds helpful,
Landon muttered.
Don't make me take a switch to you,
Carolyn threatened.
We don't take kindly to perverts and fresh mouths in this house.
Oh, good grief,
Landon intoned.
This is just... there are no words.
If you know who I am and why I'm here, why don't I know? I pressed. What am I missing?
You'll figure it out on your own soon enough, Bae.
Carolyn said,
there's a lot here for you to learn if you open your eyes and ears. If you don't, that's on you. I can't help you.
Why not?
Because I'm not really here,
Carolyn answered.
What is that supposed to mean?
Landon asked.
Wait. What's happening?
The air around us began to swirl, a myriad of colors melding into one another and rocketing as if we were caught in the funnel of a tornado. I felt sick to my stomach as the world tilted. And the last thing I heard was Carolyn's voice as she called out one last warning.
Don't let her stay. It's not her time.
I don't always hate people just to hate them. I always have a reason. It's usually a good one, too. The problem is, I often forget the reason before I get around to the punishing, so it seems as if I'm being mean and vindictive. That's rarely the case, though. So, if you really think about it, I'm the victim, because people always think I'm being mean when I'm really just being forgetful.
Aunt Tillium, why she keeps a list of mortal enemies.
4.
We landed hard. I should mention we landed on pavement hard. How did we shift locales? Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea what's happening.
Oomph.
Landon muttered, rubbing his sore rear end.
That hurt.
Uh-huh. I mimicked his actions and rolled to my side so I could ease the burden on my overtaxed rump. Where are we now?
I'm just a hitchhiker in this world, sweetie.
Landon replied, groaning as he climbed to his feet.
You know more than I do.
I don't know anything, I muttered, accepting his hand and letting him pull me to my feet. Great-grandma Caroline said I should know what's going on. Why don't I know?
I have no idea,
Landon said, brushing on my back and giving my butt a friendly pat as he kissed my forehead.
You're okay, right? You didn't break anything when we landed, did you?
Are you asking if I broke my bottom?
I'm fond of it,
Landon said, grinning.
Sue me.
You seem to be in an awfully good mood considering what's going on, I pointed out. When did that happen?
Landon shrugged. I can now say I know what Aunt Tilly was like as a child. I thought something must have happened to make her so ornery over the course of her life. I think that assumption was wrong. She was always evil.
She wasn't evil, I corrected. She was bold. Thistle was that way when we were kids. I was more like Ginger. I let Thistle talk the talk and threaten everyone, while I hung back to make sure she didn't get in over her head.
Does that mean Clove was like Willa?
I pursed my lips. That was a hard question to answer. I guess in some ways she was, I admitted. She was never mean, though. Aunt Tilly thought she was a tattletale and whiny, but she always protected her, too. I don't think that's because she reminded her of Willa.
I guess now we know why you're Aunt Tilly's favorite.
Landon mused.
You remind her of Ginger.
I still surprised. What?
You said Tilly and Ginger were close,
Landon pointed out.
When Ginger died so young, it must have devastated her. If you see yourself in Ginger, there's a good chance Aunt Tilly does, too.
But Aunt Tilly doesn't favor me. I was flabbergasted he would suggest anything of the sort.
Of course she does.
Landon said, brushing my hair from my face.
She loves all of you. She likes fighting with Thistle. She's moderately protective of Clove. You, though, you're the one she actually talks to. Now, granted, it's not very often she opens up, he continued. When she does, though, it's because you remind her of Ginger. I can kind of see it, although Ginger was a lot more timid than you are.
You never saw me as a child, I said. I was afraid of everything back then, especially someone discovering my secret.
Well, that was a lot of wasted energy,
Landon said, his pragmatic side taking over.
You should never hide who you are. I happen to love who you are, and all you did by hiding was torture yourself.
Oh, well, now you tell me, I deadpanned. I guess everything is all better now.
Don't get sarcastic, Landon said. I know that's rich coming from me, but at least we're together, and no fairy tale monsters are chasing us. This is already better than the last spell gone wrong.
He was almost chipper. I couldn't help but be suspicious. Did someone slip you a drug when I wasn't looking? Little Tilly didn't touch you, but she was probably powerful at that age.
It's a good thing you're cute, because otherwise I would have to spank you, and not in a fun way,
Landon said.
I'm not trying to upset you. I'm trying to look on the bright side of life.
There's a bright side? I must have missed it during the flying colors portion of today's events.
There is a bright side, Landon confirmed. We're together. We're not stuck in a storm. Things are going to be okay.
And suddenly you're being the cheerleader while I'm in a funk, I mused. That can't be good.
Stop being a kvetch.
I scowled. That was Aunt Tilly's favorite word for clove. Landon was enamored with the word of late. It drove me crazy. I am not a kvetch.
I'm going to have a t-shirt made declaring you a kvetch.
Whatever, I muttered, scanning our new location for the first time. Huh.
Huh, what? That was a loaded huh. I don't like loaded huhs.
I think this is the old downtown, I said, twirling so I could look the town over at every angle. This is old Walkerville.
You mean Hemlock Cove, right? Landon said.
Right. Walkerville was the town's name before they magically rebranded it.
That was before my time, Landon said. This doesn't look like Hemlock Cove. Why do you think this is Hemlock Cove? And why are the streets empty if this is Hemlock Cove? Crap. You don't think Aunt Tilly cursed us to that zombie book, do you? If zombies start shuffling down the street, I'm going to be really ticked off.
When we were cursed into a book of fairy tales, my mother and aunts were cursed into a zombie book. Aunt Tilly needed time to break the law without anyone looking over her shoulder. My mom said it was terrifying and clammed up, refusing to talk further about it. My family might have a few issues. And pessimistic Landon is back, I teased. All is right with the world.
Ha ha. Seriously, though, why do you think this is Hemlock Cove?
Because that's the high school, I said, pointing toward the brick building across the way. And that's the newspaper office. Landon narrowed his eyes.
That building is half the size of the Whistler's office,
he argued. That's because the building was expanded in the 1980s, I explained. That's the original building. Do you want to know how I know? Ask me how I know.
This game is growing weary, but I'll bite,
Landon said.
How do you know?
Because there's a photo of the original building on the wall in the newspaper's front lobby, I answered. This is definitely Walkerville.
Well, great, Landon said, rolling his neck until it cracked. Do you think we're in the same time period we were a few minutes ago?
I shook my head when I caught sight of a tall boy striding down the sidewalk across the street. He had to be almost 6.5 feet tall. His hair was black and his shoulders slouched as he walked toward the high school. I'd seen photographs of him before, too. I'd even talked to him a handful of times when I was a child, after his death, of course, although I hadn't seen his ghost in years. Landon snapped his fingers in my face to draw my attention back.
Where did you just go?
We have to follow him, I said, excitedly grabbing Landon's hand.
Why? Do you know who that is?
I nodded as I pulled Landon down the street. I know exactly who that is, and we're definitely not in the same time period we were a few minutes ago.
Why do you say that?
Because if we were, he would be the pervert in this story, I answered.
I don't understand what you're saying,
Landon said, struggling to keep up as I increased my pace to a borderline jog.
Bay!
Come on, I prodded. That's my Uncle Calvin.
Aunt Tilly's husband?
Despite himself, Landon was intrigued. He sped up without further prodding, following me as we skirted around the town's park benches and hurried toward the school.
I don't understand. How do you recognize him? That kid can't be more than 18 or 19.
I talked to him before.
When? You said your uncle died before you were born.
Landon was flummoxed. His ghost came to me a few times when I was younger, I explained. It was usually when Aunt Tilly was having a hard time. He made me do things.
Not gross things, right? You're not telling me you had a funny ghost uncle, are you?
Don't be sick, I snapped. Those aren't the types of things he asked me to do. What's wrong with you?
I don't know,
Landon said, slowing his pace so we didn't get too close to Calvin.
Maybe all of Aunt Tilly's pervert talk made my mind go to a bad place. I can't explain it. I'm sorry. From what I understand, your uncle was a good guy.
According to Mom and my aunts, he was the best guy, I supplied. He was the one they went to when they were upset. He helped them build dog houses and tree houses and even doll houses. I'm sure you gather that Aunt Tilly wasn't really a nurturer, I continued. She did her best, but she's never been one for doling out hugs and kisses. Uncle Calvin did all of that.
He sounds like a cool guy, Landon said. Just for clarification, though, I'm the best guy. He can have second place.
You're the best guy, I conceded. I just want to see him.
Okay, Landon said. It's not as though we have anything else to do. Like, get out of this place or anything.
I felt the urge to roll my eyes. Have you considered we're here to see what's about to happen?
No.
I wrinkled my nose. Why not?
Because, well, I don't know. I'm looking for an exit, and you're looking for popcorn. I guess your way makes sense if we really are here for a reason, like your great-grandmother said. She's terrifying, by the way.
I never met her either, but the stories Aunt Tilly tells are legendary, I said, leaning against a tree and watching as Calvin approached two girls leaving the high school. One of them boasted reddish blonde hair. The other had long dark waves dipping past her shoulders. Look, it's Ginger and Tilly again.
Why don't you call her Aunt Tilly when she's younger?
I shrugged, because she's not my aunt yet, and it feels weird calling her that before she has the job.
I guess that's as good an answer as anything.
Landon said, smiling when he saw Calvin reach for Tilly's books.
Wait, is he going to carry her books home? Is he that guy?
And what guy is that? I asked, smiling when I saw Tilly blush. Look how cute they are. She's embarrassed.
She's smitten,
Landon corrected.
Look at the way she stares at him. It's the same way you stare at me, and I'm guessing she hasn't even seen him naked yet.
I flicked his ear. Get your mind out of the gutter, I chided. Don't ruin this for me. It's romantic. Landon slipped his arm around my waist and watched as Tilly and Calvin chatted, seemingly in no hurry to leave the school grounds. Ginger trailed behind, enjoying the spectacle herself. She clearly liked her sister's future husband, which made me like her even more. She wasn't jealous or insecure. She was happy for her sister, and it showed. Mom said that Uncle Calvin walked Aunt Tilly home from school 10 times before she agreed to go out with him, I said. I wonder which time this is.
I'm guessing it's the important time,
Landon said, casting me a sidelong look.
Do you want me to carry your newspapers home and prove I'm romantic?
I think putting up with my family already proves you're romantic.
Yes, but I want to be the winner in the Winchester romance game,
Landon said.
I'm starting to wonder if this guy has me beat.
Not in my heart.
Well, I guess that's as good as it's going to get,
Landon said, brushing a kiss against my temple.
They do look kind of cute. He's as tall as a tree, and she's as short as the bush next to it. I wonder how they, you know.
Why is your mind so dirty today? I challenged. You're ruining a romantic moment.
Don't tell me you weren't thinking it, too,
Landon argued.
There has to be some logistical thing we're missing here. He could crush her.
He's thin, though, I argued.
Ha! See? You have been thinking about it. I knew it. You can't look at them and not wonder.
I'm starting to see what Aunt Tilly means when she calls you a pervert.
I will gladly take that title, too,
Landon said, narrowing his eyes as he watched another girl hurry out of the school.
Uh-oh. I think that's Willa. Am I right?
I squinted so I could see over the distance and frowned as she drew closer to her sisters. Yeah, that's her.
Tilly, Willa called out. You're supposed to wait for me before walking home. You know that.
Why do you think we're still here?
Tilly shot back. I couldn't see her face well enough to discern the eye roll, but I knew it was there.
We're not waiting in this spot for our help.
You're supposed to wait in the school,
Willa pointed out. We were just outside, Ginger said, obviously trying to play peacekeeper between her tempestuous sisters. We didn't leave you. It's a beautiful day. We didn't want to waste it. Willa ignored the apology.
Hello, Calvin,
she cooed, the voices becoming easier to hear as the foursome trudged in our direction. They seemingly didn't see us, or if they did, they didn't care about our presence.
You look handsome today.
I made a face, anger on behalf of Aunt Tilly taking over. Do you see that? She's flirting with Aunt Tilly's man. Landon snorted.
I think Tilly can take care of herself. Plus, look at Calvin. He only has eyes for Tilly. It's as if no one else exists.
Calvin was definitely fixated on Tilly, though he didn't ignore everyone else.
even though he refused to drag his eyes away from his future wife.
Hello, Willa. How are you today?
I'm great. Willa Bubble, moving to Calvin's side. I'm going to run for homecoming queen. I'm going to make my own dress. Everyone says I'm the prettiest girl in the school, so I think I'll definitely win. What do you think?
Calvin's cheeks colored.
I think you're very pretty,
he said.
I think Tilly is the prettiest girl in the school, though.
Instead of some withering retort, Tilly's cheeks reddened to the point where I worried she would pass out. She was embarrassed and pleased. It was a side of Aunt Tilly I'd never seen. It was almost charming.
She's not pretty,
Willa scoffed.
I'm pretty. Yes, we know,
Tilly said, finally finding her voice.
You tell yourself that every morning when you look in the mirror. That's a lie.
I've seen you do it, Tilly argued.
You sit there and admire yourself because no one else will do it if you don't. You can't say things like that to me,
Willa hissed.
Daddy warned you about it. I'm going to tell him. You know that, right?
Of course I know it, Tilly replied. They were almost even with us now, although they still hadn't looked in our direction.
That's the way you live your life. You're a tattletale. Well, I'm definitely telling now,
Willa huffed.
You're not going to like what happens when I told Daddy what he said. He's going to make it so you can't go out with Calvin.
Just so you know, he hasn't even asked me to go out with him today, Tilly snapped.
Dad can't stop something before it even happens. Well, I'll make sure it never happens, if you're not careful,
Willa threatened.
If it's possible, she's even more unlikable now than she was when we met her,
Landon muttered, shaking his head.
What is wrong with her?
She's a genuinely unhappy person, I replied, keeping my voice low. She wants others to be unhappy, too. Calvin cleared his throat.
Well, if that's true, I guess I should give your father something to take away, huh?
Tilly shifted.
What do you mean?
How about it?
Calvin prodded.
Will you go out with me? I'll take you to dinner and everything.
Tilly glanced at Ginger, clearly unsure. I knew she wanted to say yes, but she was worried about ramifications if she did. That was another side of Aunt Tilly I'd never seen before. The woman I knew didn't care about ramifications.
You know what? I would love to go out with you,
Tilly said, a wide grin splitting her face as Willa scowled and Calvin beamed.
Really?
Calvin looked so earnest it almost broke my heart.
Really?
Tilly confirmed.
I'm telling,
Willa said, breaking into a run.
I'm telling Daddy!
I hate her, Tilly muttered as they moved past us, never once looking in our direction.
I'm going to make her eat dirt before this is all said and done.
Don't make things worse, Tilly, Ginger said, locking gazes with me as she slowed her pace. This will all work out. You'll see. My heart caught in my throat as I stared back at my grandmother. I felt caught and had no idea what to do or say.
There's no time, Ginger said, her voice barely a whisper. Don't let her stay here, Bay. It's important. Make sure she doesn't stay here.
What are you talking about? I asked. Ginger was already following Tilly and Calvin again, though. She didn't bother looking over her shoulder.
How do you know who I am?
The question didn't get answered, because before I could give Ginger's words any thought, the colors started swirling again. We were moving. Landon? He grabbed my hand.
I'm here. I'll always be here.
You only get one great love in your life. I really believe that. Pick right. If you pick wrong, you're going to get stuck with a loser. Then I'm going to have to kick him in the behind because you picked a loser. Then you're going to cry, and I'm going to have to kick you in the behind because crying gives me heartburn. So, what have we learned? That's right. I like to kick people in the behind, and I hate heartburn.
Aunt Tilly explains marriage to her great-nieces. 5. This time, when we landed, it was on something softer. Unfortunately, it was a bed, and if I had to guess, it was Aunt Tilly's bed. I rolled to my side, relieved to find Landon still clutching my hand. That one wasn't as bad.
No,
Landon agreed.
That's probably because we landed on a bed, though. Had it been pavement, your bottom would be black and blue.
I guess you'd have to kiss it and make it better, I teased.
And you think I'm the pervert?
Landon muttered, glancing around the room.
Where are we now?
I pointed toward the framed photograph next to the bed. It showed Calvin and Aunt Tilly posing under a tree. They looked blissfully happy. This is Aunt Tilly's room, I answered. At least, I think it's her room. She still has that photo in her bedroom now.
Oh, gross,
Landon said, scurrying off the bed.
This is probably where she and Calvin... you know.
For a pervert, you have a very limited vocabulary, I said, moving to climb off the other side of the bed and pausing when I saw the garment bag hanging in the closet. I wonder...
You wonder what?
Landon asked, watching as I strode toward the closet and peered inside the bag.
What is it? That's not Willa, is it? If it is, we're leaving her strung up in there. I can't take spending time with that woman if it isn't necessary.
It's not Willa, I said, opening the bag to give Landon a peek. It's Aunt Tilly's wedding gown. Landon's eyebrows shot up his forehead.
Seriously? Is she getting married today?
I shrugged. How am I supposed to know?
I thought you knew everything.
You've been with me this entire time, I argued. You know what I know. Why are you being such a... kvetch?
Oh, that's great, Landon muttered. Way to turn this around on me. I'm not the reason we're stuck in this time travel hell. That's what we're doing, right? We're time traveling? I have no idea how it's happening, but it is. And it's freaking me out.
I don't think that's what's happening, I said, licking my lips. If we were time traveling, we'd be changing things with our appearances. That's not happening. In fact, Calvin and Tilly barely noticed us when they passed us in the park. That's not time travel.
Ginger noticed you,
Landon said. She also recognized me, I pointed out. How did she do that?
Because you look like her, Bay,
Landon replied.
Her hair has reddish tints to it, and she's shorter than you. But otherwise, you have a lot of the same facial features. Somehow she recognized that. I'm sure of it.
Do you really think I look like her? I'd heard it before, but looking at my dead grandmother in photographs wasn't the same as coming face to face with her.
Yes.
Do you think she's pretty? Despite his earlier irritation, Landon couldn't help but smile.
She doesn't hold a candle to you. You're the prettiest woman in the world.
You probably shouldn't lay it on so thick, I said dryly. If you'd stopped before the last part, I would have declared you the world's most romantic man again.
I was telling the truth,
Landon said. This time it was my cheeks burning instead of Aunt Tilly's. Thank you.
You're terrible when I compliment you,
Landon complained.
We're going to have to work on that. Now isn't the time, though. Tell me why you think we're not traveling through time. It would seem that that's the easiest answer to this problem.
Because I don't think real time travel is possible, I answered, taking Landon by surprise. This isn't Star Trek. There are too many problems associated with time travel. For example, what if we'd somehow ruined Aunt Tilly's acceptance of a date with Calvin? That could have changed my entire life. We might never have met if Aunt Tilly met someone else, married him, and somehow never got custody of Mom, Marnie, and Twyla.
Okay,
Landon said, soaking it all in as he rubbed the back of his neck.
If it's not time travel, what is it?
I have a theory.
Oh, good.
I think we're trapped in Aunt Tilly's mind. Landon's face was blank despite the fact I expected him to explode.
Okay, great. That would explain my headache.
You're not being serious, I prodded. I seriously think we're stuck in Aunt Tilly's mind. She's the common denominator in all of these memories. Landon stilled.
Memories?
That's what they are, I replied. Every time the colors swirl and we're jolted into another scene, it's essentially us being shuffled from one memory to the next. I think Aunt Tilly is still unconscious in the hospital, and this is what she's thinking about.
Let's say I buy this,
Landon said.
If time travel is impossible, how is it possible for Aunt Tilly to suck us into her mind? This has to be even more problematic.
I don't think she did it on purpose, I explained. She was unconscious, not dead. She still has powers. She was in pain, maybe afraid. So she went to a happier place.
How do we end up with her?
We were vulnerable because we were asleep, I answered. Our minds were open to possibilities our conscious brains wouldn't allow or accept. Had we been awake, she wouldn't have been able to bring us in. She pulled us in because we were, well, malleable. That's the only way I can think to describe it.
Are we stuck here?
Landon looked worried at the prospect. For some reason, he was more comfortable with the idea of time travel than being stuck in a dream world where Aunt Tilly had all the power. My guess is no, I said. I think when we wake up back in the hospital room, we'll jerk ourselves out of this place. Mom could wake us up or something.
Well, that's good, right?
Landon's expression shifted from concerned to relieved.
We only have to hold on until someone wakes us.
That's one way of looking at it, I said.
Oh, I'm gonna hate this,
Landon grumbled.
What's the other way of looking at it?
Carolyn and Ginger both told me that I couldn't let her stay here, I said. They were adamant. Who do you think they were talking about?
Aunt Tilly,
Landon surmised, exhaling heavily.
They're worried she's gonna stay in her happy memories instead of going home with us.
I think so.
Bay, I think you're worrying for nothing,
Landon said.
Aunt Tilly is a fighter. She might love these memories, but she loves you guys too. She doesn't want to leave you. She told me she's going to live until she's 150 years old. She claims she's middle-aged.
I know that, I said. She might not understand what's happening, though. If she's in pain, maybe she'd rather stay here than deal with the pain. We have to find her.
Do we find young Tilly or old Tilly?
Landon asked.
I haven't seen old Tilly, and young Tilly doesn't appear to recognize us.
Both of them are here, I said. One of them is hiding, though. She's the one we need to find.
How do you know that?
It's just a feeling, I admitted. If I'm right, though, we have nothing to lose. We'll eventually wake on our own. We have to find Aunt Tilly before that happens. If we don't...
Then she might inadvertently choose to stay here.
Landon finished.
I get it. So where do we look?
It's a wedding, I said, smiling. We look outside. Aunt Tilly and Calvin got married in the backyard. It was supposedly magical.
You have a goofy look on your face again,
Landon said.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you're enjoying this.
Just because we're stuck here doesn't mean we can't have a good time.
Fine,
Landon said, giving in.
Let's go to a wedding.
I thought you'd never ask, I said, giggling. It took me a moment to realize my words could have another meaning, and my cheeks burned when Landon's thoughtful gaze landed on me. I didn't mean... Landon cut me off.
Let's go to a wedding,
he said.
This is part of your family history. You should enjoy it.
He was giving me a way out, and I was grateful. Of course, the insecure part of me didn't want to acknowledge that I was worried wedding talk would cause him to run in the other direction. I decided to change the subject. Just for the record, I wouldn't refer to old Tilly again when we're stuck in Aunt Tilly's head, I offered. She won't like that.
Great. Something else to worry about.
I slipped my hand into his as we headed toward the door. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Wait. Can she read my mind because it's trapped in her mind?
I have no idea.
Crap,
Landon muttered.
Now she's gonna know how often I think about, you know.
Oh, honey, that secret isn't nearly as safe as you seem to think it is. Landon reached over and tickled my ribs as I tried to escape.
You're too cute for words sometimes.
Thank you, I gasped, trying to evade his fingers.
I didn't say you were being cute now,
Landon cautioned.
Just sometimes.
You know how I make you tired? Landon nodded. Sometimes you make me tired.
That's why we work, sweetie,
Landon said.
Come on, I'm dying to see how a Winchester wedding works.
I think it's going to be illuminating.
Wait, what did he mean by that?
Stay over here.
Landon ordered 5 minutes later, grabbing my arm and pulling me under the eaves of the house so we could go more easily unnoticed.
Why?
I was annoyed. I wanted to meet as many relatives as possible. By the time I was born, most of them were gone. It will be fun.
I'm still not convinced we're in Aunt Tilly's head.
Landon answered, although he looked to the sky, which made me internally smirk.
If we are, though, I've always thought she was the wisest witch in the land.
I love that you pander to an audience, even now. Landon frowned.
If we are time traveling, and what you said about not changing things is true, I don't want to risk not meeting you. I want to wake up with you on my lap in that hospital chair.
My heart flopped at the admission. That was sweet.
That's the truth,
Landon said.
I can't imagine not knowing you. It would kill me.
You wouldn't even know, I pointed out, although tears pricked my eyes at the thought. Neither of us would.
Do you want to risk that?
We're not time traveling, I argued. Although I hung back and shifted a little closer to Landon. I don't want to risk it, though.
Good,
Landon said.
We're here to observe and find Aunt Tilly. If you're right, the old, I mean our Aunt Tilly, is somewhere close. She's watching, too.
Where do you think she is? I asked, scanning the crowd. Oh, look, there's Calvin in his tuxedo. He's so handsome.
He looks dapper,
Landon said. I shot him a dubious look. Dapper?
Sweetie, men don't call other men handsome,
Landon replied.
And she's not done.
Fine, prude, I said. He does look handsome, though. I can't wait to see Aunt Tilly in her dress.
That'll be something,
Landon conceded.
Old Aunt Tilly, I mean, young and spry Aunt Tilly who doesn't look a day over 30, will want to see herself in that dress. Keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir. I ignored Landon's pointed eye roll and turned back to the assembled guests. There's great-grandmother Carolyn, I said, inclining my chin across the way. She looks happy.
She probably just killed someone,
Landon offered. You're a grump, I said. This is a wedding. It's a happy occasion.
Oh, yeah?
Landon studied me for a moment.
Do you?
The sound of someone squealing cut him off, and part of me was dying to know what he was about to ask. Of course, the other part was terrified, and it would have been something like, do you really think I would marry you after you got me caught in a fairy tale book and a crazy woman's head? I opted to let it go and focus on Lilla as she interacted with guests. She was dressed up, her bridesmaid dress pressed and smooth. Her hair was pulled back, and she seemed desperate to be the center of attention. She talked to one of the ushers, repeatedly putting her hand on his arm. When he refused to show her proper interest, she shifted her eyes to Calvin. Uh-oh.
What?
Landon asked, slipping his arm around my waist.
What horror is about to befall us now?
Aunt Willa is going after Calvin, I said, shaking my head as I watched Willa approach. Is she going to hit on him right before his wedding?
Where is Tilly?
Landon asked, scanning the crowd.
There's no way she would put up with this.
She's getting dressed, I said. We heard her heading toward her bedroom when we snuck out. That's probably a good thing because she would have cursed us to within an inch of our lives if she caught us.
If she's inside, and this is really a memory, how are we seeing it?
Landon challenged. He had a point. Crap, I hate it when he does that. Was I wrong? I caught sight of Aunt Tilly a split second before Landon did, exhaling heavily when I saw her peeking from the open bedroom window about 5 feet from us. She's watching from inside.
Fine, she's watching,
Landon conceded.
Your theory is still in play.
My theory is right, I said, narrowing my eyes when I saw Willa put her hand on Calvin's chest. To my surprise, Calvin firmly removed Willa's hand and leaned down to whisper something to her. Whatever it was, Willa didn't like it. She said something back and then turned on her heel and stalked away. When I glanced at Tilly again, she was smiling. That's what she needed to see. She wanted to make sure Calvin wouldn't betray her. She already knew it in her heart, but now she knows it in her head, too.
Do you worry about things like that, Bay?
Landon asked, his question taking me by surprise.
Like what?
I feigned ignorance. I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Don't do that,
Landon said, wagging a finger in my face.
I'm asking a serious question. Do you think I would betray you?
I answered honestly. No, I'm terrified. I'll somehow lose you all the same, though.
Because of the witch stuff?
I shrugged, unsure how to answer. Maybe.
We've been over this, Bay,
Landon said, his tone calm and even.
I won't leave. I don't want to leave.
But we're stuck in Aunt Tilly's mind, I argued. That can't make you happy.
We might be time traveling,
Landon countered.
I haven't given up on that yet.
Even if we are, that's still because of my family, I said. Are you willing to put up with that forever? I almost choked on the word. Landon was unruffled.
Yes.
I swallowed hard. Really?
Bay, I'm not going anywhere,
Landon said.
I'll say it as many times as you need to hear it. I screwed up when I left. When I knew you were a witch and you refused to tell me everything, I reacted badly because I didn't know what else to do. I'm over that now. I'm not leaving. I need you to believe that. When you do, then we'll start talking about all of this.
I knit my eyebrows. All of what? The magic?
I don't care about that either,
Landon said.
I mean, all of this.
He gestured at the gathering.
When you believe in me and know in your heart I'm not going anywhere, then we'll talk about weddings. Until then, I'm happy with how things are.
Holy crap.
That's what I thought,
Landon said, smirking as he dropped a quick kiss on my mouth.
Now, watch your wedding. We might have traveled through a crazy woman's mind to get here. I want you to enjoy it.
You probably shouldn't call her crazy. That was probably the wrong thing to say given his admission, but I was at a loss.
Oh, I'm over that,
Landon said.
If we tick her off, maybe she'll wake up out of spite.
Huh. Well, stranger things have happened.
Like watching a wedding that occurred 25 years before you were born?
I nodded. Like that, I said, resting my head against his shoulder. Let's watch it.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
For some reason, I believed him.
I don't like kids. They're only good for slave labor, kicking when I'm in a bad mood, and setting on my enemies when someone ticks me off. Do you want to tick me off? If you do, all six of the girls I raised have deviant minds. You should see what they can come up with when pushed in the right direction.
Aunt Tilly, to a guest, when asked why she never had children of her own.
6.
The wedding was barely over before Landon and I shifted to a new memory. He gripped my hand, refusing to let go, and sighed when we landed hard enough to jolt both of us. I'm going to be in real pain when this is all over, I muttered, rubbing my tailbone. Seriously, couldn't she pick softer spots for us to land? Landon shrugged, but didn't look any happier with the situation than I was.
She plopped us on a bed last time.
Her bed.
Yes, and I'm going to have nightmares forever,
Landon said, rolling to his knees and struggling to a standing position.
You know, if we're really in Aunt Tilly's head, this stuff shouldn't hurt. That's why I think we're time traveling.
You're not going to let this go, are you?
Have you seen the time travel episodes of Star Trek?
Landon challenged.
They're the best episodes, especially that Star Trek The Next Generation one, with the monsters in the cave and Picard meeting Guinan the second time, which is really the first time.
I was horrified. I opened my mouth, but no sound would come out.
What?
Landon asked, glancing around.
Do I have something on my face?
Are you a Trekkie? Landon scowled.
Seriously? That's what you're worried about. We're either traveling through time or stuck in a woman's mind, and you're worried about my television habits?
He reached for my hand and helped me up.
I'm disappointed, Bay.
That wasn't an answer, I pressed. Are you a Trekkie? And if so, how have you managed to hide this from me for so long? Landon shrugged.
I have to watch something when we're apart,
He said, completely unbothered by his admission.
Star Trek is fun, and it has hot chicks in little outfits. Sue me.
Oh, this is terrible, I said, rubbing my neck. Do you, like, go to conventions and stuff? Landon made a face.
If you don't stop that, I'm going to make you watch episodes with me and reenact them as part of a game.
What kind of game? Do Trekkies play weird games?
Not that kind of a game,
Landon snapped.
One of the other games we play. You know the ones I'm talking about.
You can say the word sex. You know that, right?
Shh.
Landon slapped his hand over my mouth.
If you're right, Aunt Tilly is listening. I'm trying to talk in code.
I jerked my head away. Good job, Mr. Spock, I said, awkwardly trying to turn my fingers into the odd salute I'd seen on television. What? Aunt Tilly is a Trekkie, too. I've seen a few episodes. That doesn't make me a hypocrite. Seriously, it doesn't. Aunt Tilly will never break your genius code.
You're no longer my favorite person in the world,
Landon said, crossing his arms over his chest.
You wound me with your derision.
I faltered. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's a fine lifestyle. We'll just keep it a secret, like we did with the witch thing. It will be fine, Mr. Spock. Landon's eyes were dangerous slits when they locked with mine.
For your information, Missy, I'm Captain Kirk.
I'm sorry. I really wasn't.
Mr. Spock,
Landon muttered, dusting off the seat of his jeans.
He's not sexy. Captain Kirk gets all the women. I'm definitely Captain Kirk.
I patted his shoulder as I moved up beside him. I'm just glad you're not wearing a red shirt. I don't want to worry about you dying on an away mission.
Ha!
Landon swiveled and pointed a finger in my direction.
You would only know that if you're secretly a fan of the show.
Crud. I prefer Picard to Kirk. Landon's expression was full of disgust.
He's bald. I'm not bald.
Captain Kirk wears a toupee, I pointed out.
That's never been proved. I happen to believe that's his real hair.
I realized what Landon wasn't saying. Don't worry, sweetie, I said. I'm sure you won't lose your hair.
I can't even look at you right now,
Landon said, crossing his arms over his chest.
Look, we're back at the house again. When do you think this is?
I shrugged. I have no idea. Let's move closer, though. We'll try to stay hidden and see what's going on.
That's because you're starting to think I'm right about the time travel, right?
Landon asked as he followed me through the thick foliage.
I'm right. Admit it.
I'm right, I argued. You're just a Trekkie.
I'm never going to live that down,
Landon muttered. Don't worry. If you're good for the rest of the day and we get out of this unscathed, I'll let you play with my tribbles.
Bay, you can't mock me for being a Trekkie when you have all this geek knowledge of your own. You're a Trekkie, too. If you try to make fun of me, I'll tell everyone about that triple comment. Your mother will be horrified.
Crap. Why do I always have to paint myself in such obnoxious corners? Fine. Your secret is safe with me.
That's good,
Landon said.
That means your secret is safe with me.
He pulled up short and extended a hand to hold me back, pushing me down behind a bush and pressing a finger to his lips to warn me to be quiet. What? I whispered. If someone is over there, they've already heard our Star Trek argument. There's no reason to hide now.
It's Calvin, Landon said. He's sitting on a log. Look.
I followed the direction of Landon's finger, taking a moment to soak in the scene and realize what I was witnessing. It's Mom.
It's all of them,
Landon said, gesturing toward the giggling girls as they danced in a circle around Calvin.
Look how small they are.
Look at Twyla's hair, I marveled, grinning. I guess Mom wasn't lying when she said her natural color was blonde. I've never seen anything but the Ronald McDonald color. She looks normal. Landon chuckled.
What are they doing?
I have no idea, I said. It looks like they're having fun, though, doesn't it?
Is this before or after your grandmother died?
Before. I think everyone lived here together, though. Girls, come inside for lunch. Ginger appeared in the doorway. I could barely make out her features, but her smile was evident as Twyla and Marnie scampered in her direction. Mom lingered behind, clearly waiting for Calvin. Aren't you coming? Mom asked.
In a minute,
Calvin replied.
I have something to do first. You go on ahead.
I'll catch up with you.
Okay,
Mom said, skipping toward the house.
You better hurry if you want cookies.
Don't you dare eat my cookies.
Calvin feigned a stern expression.
I'll tickle you if you do.
I'll do my best,
Mom said, her blonde hair bouncing.
I can only do so much, though.
I have faith in you,
Calvin said, smiling as he watched Mom enter the house. Landon and I kept our heads bowed, inhaling quietly and working overtime not to alert Calvin to our presence.
I know you're there,
Calvin said. My heart rolled. Was he talking to us?
Bay Winchester, I know you're there, Calvin said.
When I risked a glance over the bushes, I found Calvin staring at me. I straightened, smoothing the front of my shirt, and glanced around for a sign of Aunt Tilly. She was nowhere to be found.
How did you know we were here?
I heard the very enlightening Star Trek conversation,
Calvin replied, seemingly unperturbed by our appearance.
Tell your friend to stand up, too.
Landon reluctantly did as instructed.
Hey, man.
It was the lamest greeting ever, but it made Calvin smile.
Hey,
Calvin said.
You definitely have more in common with Kirk than Spock. I have no idea about the other people you mentioned, though, so I'll have to side with your boyfriend.
Landon smirked.
I told you.
That doesn't count, I said, picking my way through the foliage so I could close the distance between Calvin and myself.
Picard doesn't exist yet. He doesn't know what he's missing.
Don't push me, Bay,
Landon said.
I can only take so much.
Calvin was chuckling when we finally made our way to him.
You guys are funny. I'm glad you found someone funny, Bay. You deserve to laugh.
I don't understand, I said, glancing around. How do you know who I am? And where is Aunt Tilly?
She's close,
Calvin replied.
My Tilly is in the trees over there, watching. She hides from the girls when they get boisterous. Your Tilly is in the trees behind me, watching. You can't see her yet. You'll be able to soon, though. I have to have a talk with you first.
About what?
Do you know what's happening, Bay?
Calvin's brown eyes were serious.
Do you know why you're here?
I think so, I hedged.
We're time traveling,
Landon offered.
Star Trek isn't real, son,
Calvin said.
You need to let that go.
Landon scowled. I told you, I muttered.
You might try being more gracious, Bay,
Calvin admonished.
I know you have it in you. You're Winnie's daughter, after all.
How do you know who I am?
I know what Tilly wants me to know,
Calvin answered.
She's conflicted.
Because she's hurt and in the hospital and she's hiding from her pain, right?
Yes.
Ha! I glanced at Landon. If I was expecting applause, I was about to be disappointed. I mean, I graciously say that I was right and you were wrong, and I'm doing it in a way that's not annoying.
Try again,
Landon muttered, although I didn't miss the brief smile on his face.
Why doesn't she want to wake up? Do you know? I know that Tilly feels badly about what happened,
Calvin said.
She's doing her best to heal herself, but she's fighting the urge to wake at the same time. It's important that she wakes up, Bay. Do you understand why?
Because she hasn't finished her plan of world domination yet? What? That's a legitimate answer. She's been telling me about her plan since I was 5.
No,
Calvin said, chuckling.
It's not her time.
Do you know when her time is?
No.
Then how do you know it's not her time? I pressed.
Do you want it to be her time?
Calvin asked, switching gears. I don't think I would be here if that was the case, I replied. I don't know what to do. We haven't seen her. Not the real Aunt Tilly, I mean. I've seen younger versions of her.
You're going to see a real aunt very soon,
Calvin said.
You're almost ready. You only have to open your mind and see what's right in front of you.
You're right in front of me.
I see you have the Winchester penchant for arguing,
Calvin said, pinching the bridge of his nose.
I shouldn't be surprised. That's the only thing that never skips a